been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. We're ready to rock and roll, and of course, the biggest treat that we have is actually going to be this Sunday when we've got Ravens-Steelers Part 2 of the 2018 season, and hopefully it's a treat, not a trick, but we shall.
You're going to say it's part deux.
Part deux, sorry, deux, sorry, deux. Part deux.
Like deux, like the French say deux.
Deux.
But, or I hope it's not a duh performance.
Yeah, I hope it's not a dud. Let's hope it's not a dud. But anyway, joining me as always to talk all things Ravens Steelers, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How was your Halloween?
It was easy. I mean, I don't really do much. I took the dog for a walk in a neighborhood. He was enjoying seeing all the kids walk around and other doggies, and I worked my part-time job, so it was really low-key. I don't really do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I dressed the dog up. My dog, he got a Caps jersey, got his picture next to my Stanley Cup, and we handed out some candy from the cup, which was always nice. Not a lot of kids in my neighborhood, though. We had maybe 20, 30 kids. Going on Facebook, and I see some places get like 200 to 300 kids, which is just insane. But,
did you let the dog eat out of the cup?
I did not let him do that. He's not eating the Starburst and the Skittles.
Put his dog food in there. That'd be fun.
After we go to obedience class and he graduates, maybe I'll let him do that. But so we got Ravens-Steelers coming up this Sunday. And let me just start off by asking you, how is this team different than the Ravens that went up against the Steelers just a couple weeks ago? Because we always hear about this. We see it every year. The Steelers always start really lackadaisical. They don't do well in September, and then as the season goes on, they kind of heat up. So the Ravens seem to be going in a lopsided direction. They're flip-flopping week to week. So what is different about this team that the Ravens, who the Ravens are going to be and who they're going to face, as opposed to who they saw a couple weeks ago?
Well, man, that's a great point. And we talked about it a lot in the last few shows. We've mentioned identity. We mentioned you are what your regular says you are. I mean, I don't know how many times I've listened to a Ravens press conference this week alone and heard, we're 4-4. Or I heard the phrase 4-4. I'm like, we get it. We know you're 4-4. What are you going to do about it? So, and we've always, and I kind of teased it a little bit last show, I kind of mentioned how, you know, and I said it a few weeks back about the Texans and where they're at now and with the Ravens and trending is, if you look at just a record, it's just a record. Okay, we're 4-4, Steelers or whatever, you know, but there's more to MCI. And like you mentioned, both teams are right there, but the Ravens and Steelers both took different paths. As we know, the Steelers started off a little sluggish, tying against Cleveland, losing a few games, and then losing to us ultimately before winning. I mean, the Steelers, you know, pretty much played the last five games. They only had one loss against us. So, and it was in crazy good fashion on the Ravens side. So where the Ravens are standing right now, they're trying to keep head above water. They start off good, and then lately, since beating the Steelers, obviously, with that solid win, you thought, man, we're riding a high. You had Weddle dancing on the podium. These aren't the same Ravens, what did I tell you? And then let down in Cleveland, followed by a trouncing against the Titans. And that's kind of all forgotten in there, because then we lost to the Saints, and then giving up 17 points in the fourth quarter, and then getting trounced in our own right on the losing end by the Panthers. So if it wasn't for a dominant Titans performance, and you look at it right there, the Ravens have lost three out of last four after starting 2-1. So it's it's dire straits now more than ever with the Ravens having to get back and right the ship. So, dude, this is tough sledding because, I mean, you look at the schedule, everything lines up, but these isn't the same Steelers team we saw before. I mean, in Pittsburgh, this isn't. And they've got the same personnel, you might say, on paper, but the Ravens are licking their own wounds. They have the Lion who's depleted, and we do get an X Factor back, which is a Antonio Brown neutralizer, and I call him by the name of Marlon Humphrey. He returned to practice this week, so that is great news if you're looking for any good news out of this two-game losing streak right now. Who returned to practice this week. So I was definitely excited to see him return to the ranks, and I'm hoping that leads to a healthy return for Marlon Humphrey to go against the Steelers passing attack, but it's not going to be an easy task. I mean, the Ravens blanked them in the first game in the second half, but again, still Ravens with the number one defense barely. You almost want to feel confident, but I don't know. Because the Ravens now, again, they got this is do or die. You said last week was a must win. If this is a must win, I don't know what is. This is like a playoff game right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And you brought up Marlon Humphrey. He didn't practice yesterday. He was limited today, which is November 1st, Thursday. So, I mean, to be limited in practice, not a full participant, that still kind of leaves up in the air whether or not he's going to play on Sunday or not. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. But after the last couple weeks missing Marlon Humphrey, I mean, you definitely can see that he's not there, and there's a big part of this defense missing, and the teams that we've been up against, they have exploited that without him out there.
They have, and it's not to say Jimmy Smith can't get it done, but it is a different defense, and if you're not, you're fooling yourself. I mean, just look at the results in the tape, and there's been a lot of questions raised. Has the chemistry, let's say even if Marlon was healthy, you throw Jimmy in, did it throw everything off? I don't know, because I feel like Jimmy on his best day is the best option the Ravens have. And I'm not saying over Marlon, but you just got to look at it for what it is. And I felt like Jimmy was only suspended. He wasn't coming off an injury. And I don't know if it's being slow because he's not in football shape. Again, I don't know. I didn't watch him train. I don't know any updates on that. I have to do some digging. But I feel like right now there's a lot of uncertainty right now. Even the Ravens still have that defensive swagger per se, man. But I just – you kind of like still shaky because the Steelers do have a potent offense coming in here. We haven't been great lately. We've been good enough to probably beat the Saints. We were good enough to beat the Cleveland Browns, but it just happened to go that way. And then for whatever reason, the game started off so well, and then boom. It's like they just shut down completely, and Panthers must have figured them out. So it's a daunting task with these Steelers, and with James Conner coming off another career performance. I mean, the dude had another 140-plus yards rushing and two touchdowns. He's doing things that, I'm sorry, but Le'Veon Bell wasn't even doing as a Steeler. So, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is one of the great backs in the league, when inserted in the lineup and healthy. But, dude, I'm sorry, James Conner. If you thought everybody was going to write the Steelers off because they lost their X Factor running back, they must have known, because James Conner surprised even me. And that's what's concerning, because they have a dangerous running game, and that's the difference. Look, what if the Ravens had that in Alex Collins, Brandon? Just flip the script. Just imagine this football team if Alex Collins last week ran it for 140 and two touchdowns. Wouldn't that take the pressure off of Flacco and the whole offense in general?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, man. And there's a lot to go there. I mean, and you look at the success, and I know looking at Zeke Elliott of the Cowboys, right? They had a beast offensive line, and a lot of times when you have these offensive lines that are just downright big and strong and nasty, and they move the line, the running backs benefit from that. But when you have injuries and you have a weak line, it shows, and it's a combination of everything. I mean, we've talked about it before. It's the line, it's the running backs, it's lack thereof, and that's why the Ravens, I think, made a move. Now, we haven't really gotten a great look at Ty Montgomery, obviously, but he was at practice today. From the footage I saw, he looked good. He's wearing number 88. So it looks great. And I don't know how the Ravens going to use him. My prediction before we even get to that, I don't know what you think. I would love to hear what you think. But my take to start it off there is I think the Ravens – I mean, I could be way off, obviously. But just being that a new player comes in trying to learn the playbook, a rivalry game, I don't think he's active for Sunday. I think they bring him into practice. He gets 2 weeks because you figure we have a bye. Then we got the Bengals, and I think you're going to see Ty Montgomery heavily involved in the Ravens game plan to come the Bengals game. But, hey, I could be wrong. I kind of say a little of my gut says I want to see him out there, just thrust him in, see what he can do real quick. Maybe just throw him. You know, you don't really – I feel like you don't need to learn a playbook for returns or kickoff returns. Just throw him out there and see what he can do, improv. But that's my take, man. Do you kind of see it going that way, or do you see him getting right in the mix and saying, hey, we need you?
Well, I mean, it would be great for him to kind of come in slow and learn the playbook, but Alex Collins hasn't practiced on Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
He hasn't. That was my key. Yep. So, yeah, that's concerning, man. I mean, we've already had the running back woes, and now we don't have Alex Collins practicing. And I don't know if you saw this on the Ravens side. Did you see the story about Alex Collins?
No.
It could lead to make one wonder, could it be his troubles? And you know he's had the issue with migraines, right?
Right.
He's come out and said that, you know, they give him fits. And you have to wonder, during a game at any point in time, does these migraines flare up? I'm sure they do. And if they do, maybe it could be whether coaching staff knows it or not or doctors know it or not. Maybe he just don't tell. I don't know. I don't know the dialogue they're having there between personnel and player, but who knows if these migraines are bothering him during the game on the field and leading him to not run effectively. So that's another X factor. So maybe the Ravens know more something that we don't, and this story came out this week. It's not a secret because we've known before he has these bad migraines, and that's why he wears the visor he does to cut down on the light to make it a little darker for him. And Brandon, I don't know if you've had them before, but I've had them, and they suck big time.
I mean, I've had migraines before. I definitely am not somebody that suffers from them very often, but there are those times where, you know, I can't even open my eyes without my head, you know, feeling like it's being split open. So, I mean, for Alex Collins to deal with those, last year he got taken out of a game because of a migraine. It was in the third quarter. They just pulled him because it was a night game and he was under the lights and they were affecting his vision and he couldn't do what he had to do. So I don't know what's going on with Alex Collins. Apparently it's a foot injury, which it's kind of important if you're a running back. So we might not see him on Sunday, but as much as I would like to see Ty Montgomery to come in slow, learn the system, do what you got to do, he may be thrusted just, you know, hey, you're the guy, our number one guy's down. You need to show up. You need to play like a Raven. Welcome to Baltimore. That might be his deal on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope he can be effective for us. I mean, we really need all hands on deck for this one. I mean, again, I can't stress it enough. This is a must-win, if not a must-win. This is playoff atmosphere. Home, the first week in November against the Steelers. Can't get any much better than that. Where we're at in the crossroads of this season, you go 4-5 into the break, losing another divisional game. You have two left. I mean, Brandon, dude, they're already 1-2 in the division. You know, only beating the Steelers, losing to the Bengals and Browns, which is just unprecedented. So it's great to have that win against Pittsburgh, but it's in your only back pocket. And if you want to even have aspirations of even trying to take the North at this point and not being a sixth seed on the road, sneaking in the playoffs, now I feel like right now, Ravens right now 7th in the AFC on the chart. They're on the outside looking in that part. So they got to do their jobs and getting it together. But, dude, this is going to be a war of wars, as we always know. I don't know about you. I love this week. I just moments before the show, I was on Twitter just doing some things, researching, and come across an Ike Taylor bit. Remember Ike Taylor from the Steelers? He actually just put a bit out there, and it was just pumping me up because it emulates me. Just put me in that position, but flip the script and sing it about the Steelers. But he basically, in a nutshell – you could probably guess the rhetoric there. He hates the Ravens. He said it was personal. He goes, after the game, we were cool. But he goes, during the game, he goes, if you had a purple and black jersey on, it was on. And just makes me just get fired up because I remember I just remember the nastiness. Now the rivalry still has that, but because of the raw game back in the day, I guess, because of the hits and the players that we had with Reed and Ray and Suggs up and coming in his career, I really think the days of old really proved something. And I was just – before the show also, I was just jotting down some of my favorite moments looking back. I want to ask you, man, have you experienced – because I know I know how you are sometimes. Like, you're the one that seldomly goes games, but if you do, you always get a good one, apparently. So, but have you ever been to a solid Raven-Steelers bout in person? Have you ever been to a Raven-Steelers game?
I got to go to one a couple years ago. It was a Sunday night game in Baltimore. It was Raven-Steelers, and it was the game where Haloti Ngata broke Big Ben's nose.
Ah, that one.
And that was a great game, except, you know, it didn't end the way that we would have liked. The Steelers did come out with a win on that one, but it was down to the wire. It was a full-on 60-minute game. You know, it was a ground and pound. It was in the trenches type of game, and that's what Raven Steeler games are all about. They are going to give you full-on entertainment for as long as they are on the field. This is normally not a game that's won in the first quarter.
Never. It takes every bit and then some. I mean, just, you know, we remember the frightful Christmas night. After the great day we had probably with family and friends, and then, you know, it took to the last second to Antonio Brown to extend it. I mean, last year, and then that one year we had where we really almost came back and we were within one point. Now, this year we held them to 26-14. So if it's not a couple of wins there for a double-digit win, it's usually a closer game for the Ravens. I mean, my favorite memory some of the Ravens games was it was a Ravens-Steeler game, and Rashard Mendenhall was the running back of the Ravens, running back for the Steelers at that point, Ray Lewis. You know, he was drawing his mouth all week and he was doing the bulletin board material and talking some trash, and it so happened that he met Ray Lewis on a running play. Let's just say season was over because Ray Lewis broke his shoulder. It was fantastic. Yeah. And my favorite thing is, again, you never like to see a player hurt, but this was fantastic. After that play, you seen him running over the sidelines like a little girl and his arm was hanging. I'm like, yeah, what? Like, and of course Ray did it, so I was all like, I know I acted a fool that day. But you know, as soon as that play happened and he took him out of the game, I was like, Ray, I can't explain it. It was great. So you know, this rivalry is just, it's one for the billing, and it always just has that extra edge, even if something's not on the line. But there's always something, and right now the North is in the balance. And I feel with the Bengals kind of hanging around there, the Browns are starting to go away, and they're starting to be a Brown. But right now, as it stands, this is big time. And you know, speaking of that, because the Ravens, I want to ask you this, because the Ravens, you posed a question earlier, you know, I addressed that now, but I want to flip it around now. Because we know the Ravens have had a solid defense so far, lately they've been lacking in that department, but they're still statistically tops by a little bit of margin there. So who has the edge in this matchup now where the teams stand? Do you think the Ravens being at home on defense have the better advantage, or do you think, you know, the way the Pittsburgh Steelers are riding with James Conner running the ball, Ben's got, you know, now Antonio Brown, you know, catching rhythm, and with the Ravens' inability right now as of late to cover the tight ends with the Saints and the Panthers games back-to-back, they cannot cover tight ends and have allowed two touchdowns in a row in two games. What do you think? Do you think that it's going to go the Steelers' offensive way this time, or do you think the Ravens clamp down at home and really show them?
I think defensively the Ravens have the upper hand, especially if Marlon Humphrey is healthy enough to come out on Sunday. If you look on the offensive side of the ball, there is a lot of offensive linemen for the Ravens that are hurt, that didn't practice, and I think that the Steelers have the upper hand there, that they are going to give Joe Flacco and the offense a run for their money. It's going to be a very hard day for Joe. There's potentially no Ronnie Stanley, no Alex Lewis. Lewis, no James Hurst. You got Jermaine Illuminor, who did not do well last year. I'm not a big fan of his. He's going to be out there, it's looking like, protecting Joe. I don't think Joe's going to be comfortable. I think we're going to see the Joe of the last two seasons that was scared to be in the pocket, that threw away the ball too often, and didn't want to get hit. So I'm going to have to give the edge to the Steelers right now because, yes, defense wins you championships, but at the same time, this is Ravens Steelers, and if you if the offense is going to be on these three and outs and that's it, like we saw in Carolina, the defense is going to be on the field much more. They're going to get tired, and they're not going to be able to be the defense that we know the Ravens can be at the end of the game when it's so important. And you know, you can't give Big Ben 2 minutes on the clock. He will go down the field. He will get that touchdown, and he'll make this, you know, make your day even worse. So I have to give the edge to the Steelers right now. They just seem like they're more of a complete package at this moment.
Right. I mean, it's what it seems like, and it is. So, and it just, it's definitely going to play in the Steelers' favor, even on the road. And that's what I'm scared of, you know, just looking at this game and looking at the Ravens' concerns. I'm like, I mean, you might sit here and go, you know, I'm not going to drink the purple Kool-Aid. I'm way more mature in seeing that and not really saying, oh, well, the Steelers are coming here and got three in a row at home. I mean, right now, the Ravens are reeling. And if the Steelers are going to show that they're a serious contender right now, they would put the Ravens to bed and go, you know what? We're going to come in your house. We're going to show them that you're a fluke and your season's over. By now, the Ravens, this could be that time to rise up and everybody start doing their job. Everybody said, you know what? We have three in a row home at the crib, in a row at the crib with a bye week and a rest week in there between two divisional opponents and exacting revenge. But depending on if the Bengals really can do work here, the standings are so close. I mean, we have the Steelers at 4-2, and you might, and just looking at records, it's kind of funny because I really had this argument this week with people. I'm like, people, just look at division standings. There's a winning percentage next to it. Now, the Steelers are 4-2. You even take out the tie because it's one less game. You just say they're 4-2. The Bengals are 5-3, and the Ravens are 4-4. And you're like, well, how are the Ravens in third place? Well, the Ravens sit at 500, so that's it. They're 500 winning percentage. They've won four games and lost four. 500 ball out of eight games. So the Steelers' winning percentage, even though they're 4-2, that boasts to a 6-4-3 winning percentage. And the Bengals are 5-3, which boasts a 6-5 just because of the number of games and losses. So even if the Bengals are still equal to two games better, it's kind of crazy because they have one better in the win column, but one worse in the loss column. And the losses actually mean more than the wins. So it's like this in standing. If you have less losses, it doesn't matter how many wins you have. You know, if the Steelers were never play another game, but if they ended the season at 4-1 and the Bengals were, or let's say they ended 4-2 and never played a game, but the Bengals, you know, let's say they won out and they were, you know, whatever, the winning percentage, it depends on how many games. I mean, that's a bad analogy because, you know, forgive me there, because of the number of games. But as that grows, this is why this game's so important, because the Steelers will widen that margin and it'll be a two-horse race with the Bengals and Steelers. Now with five wins and four losses heading into the bye, man, it looks way a lot better and the hill's a lot better to climb. They still got to go 6-2. I can't stress that enough down the stretch. But I'm more concerned with now taking it one game at a time, having that mentality. I mean, we as fans, and we can look way ahead and go, okay, they have this many road games, this many home games. These are opponents. We can dice it up. This team will be a win. This team will be a loss, and all the way down to the end of the season. You know, the players are going to do that one-week mentality. But right now, they can't focus on bye weeks. They can't focus on the Bengals' revenge in 2 weeks on that Thursday night. They can't. They got to focus on, hey, we have a chance to sweep Pittsburgh in 2018 here, home and away, and get back to even at 2-2 in the division, get a divisional AFC win here, and get back over 500 at 5-4 heading into the bye week. And we will feel a lot good heading into a two-week vacation in this season right now with a sweep of the Steelers, and we're above 500, then let everybody else duke it out, and then we return against the Bengals. How great would that look? Then you come home against them rested. You beat them at home. You're 6-4, okay? Just level with me here. And then take it to the end of the month. The Raiders come into town. Right now, they're playing, we're recording this Thursday night, they're playing tonight, and they're playing another one-win team. So the Raiders only have one win going into this weekend, so barring the outcome of tonight. So it even if they go on a winning streak, they've only, you know, they'll be, what, 3-7? So it'll be crazy. So The Raiders on paper, that should be a huge W. So let's say you take care of 2 weeks in a row against the division opponents. You beat the Raiders to go on the road. You're 7-4 now. So we're 3 games above 500 with the month of December to play. So it could look good. That's how I feel like it could happen. It should happen that way. You got to take care of business against the Steelers. But the X factors are the line, how that defensive line is going to hold up, or the offensive line is going to hold up against the Pittsburgh's defense in the running game, because we already know – on paper, the Steelers' offense is leaps and bounds better than the Ravens right now, both off the line, running game, passing game, quarterback, receiver. So we're not shying away from that. But then the Ravens have the defense. So it's kind of like the super team would be Steelers' offense, Ravens' defense, mesh them together, you have a super team. That's an ideal world. That's the kind of team you want to have. But parity in the NFL is you can't have that. So the Ravens, they're trying to go back, turn the clock, and win with defense. Kind of get by with mediocre offense, and we've seen the offensive output. The Steelers in the first 3 weeks, remember the John Brown touchdown against the Steelers on that Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers in that stretch, in that three games, they basically gave up in the first 3 weeks of the season. They gave up, I think, a handful, at least I remember just highlights and just research, 10 plays, I think. It was in the teens, like at least 10 plays of like long touchdowns, like 20 yards or more, big plays, even if it wasn't touchdown, it was big yardage. The Steelers' defense, I've even said at the beginning of the season, was trash. They've come in their own right, but it could be some of the help of the offense is now starting to creep up, because this is how crazy NFL is. Week one, Steelers, they came out slow. They got sluggish against the Browns and tied them. Now they played the Browns last week and just wiped the floor with them and go, here you go. So it's week to week, and just because you did one thing one time doesn't mean it's going to happen this time. Different day, different you know, time, different weather, different venue, different circumstances. And you know, if I were a picking man here, a betting man, we'd put the house money on Pittsburgh. I'm not saying I don't give the Ravens any chance in this game, but it's kind of like I've always heard Brian Billick say this one his tenure here. What have you done for me lately? He's always said that. This is a what have you done for me lately league. And lately, the Ravens have lost 3 out of 4. Yes, they had a strong showing against the Titans. But you know what, dude? I went back on that Titans game to do some research. Do you know why the Ravens had such a defensive showing?
Why is that?
It wasn't because our defense is great, because we know we have great players, but because the offense was so stinking good that the Ravens, you know what, they only had 16 defensive plays all the second half of that Titans game. 16.
That's wild.
Because they had a lot of three and outs.
Yeah.
And then what happens is they give the Ravens the ball back. Even though the Ravens only scored 21 points, they had long, long drives and taken a lot. And I would have to go back on the game, look at time possession. Obviously, it was dominant, but that's why. They shut them out. There was that one where the Ravens pinned them inside the 15, and it's when they had the 9 sacks, and they got 2 sacks on that for a 3-and-out series, and the Titans punt the ball. You know, so, and I'm sure, you know, I don't know if the play wasn't there, if it was a complete or a short throw for some gain or a run, but the Ravens had 2 out of 3 plays that didn't result in the sack. So, you know, that's how dominant that performance is. And I've said it time and time again, you know, a solid running game bodes well because it does a few things. It opens up the passing game and it can extend drives, because when we're constantly relying on a passing play on third down to extend the chains, the percentages don't play in your favor. There's too many factors involved. Receivers run the wrong route. Joe getting blitzed and rushing to throw. Throwing plays are timing. It's route running. There's a scheme involved. There's a method there. There's a way to do it. Running is... Yeah, the running backs just, you know, it ain't just like getting the ball and running straight. Obviously, there's blockers that got to get in place and it's designed, but you know, I feel like running the football is way more effective, and plus it helps the clock run now, especially if you have the lead. So effectively, you look at the successful teams right now in the NFL, they can run the football, and you want to run a why. The Rams are undefeated 8-0. It ain't because of Jared Goff. You know, he ain't throwing 30, 40, 50 touchdowns this year. You know who it is? It's Mr. Todd Gurley in the backfield, who has 15 total touchdowns. He has 11 rushing touchdowns and 4 receiving. That's freaking insane. And for fantasy owners like me, it's awesome. So keep it up. He's scoring crazy. So that's why when you have an effective running game, it bodes well. Now, they don't win the championships every year, no. But in that same regard, I can't stress enough, and this is why stopping a James Conner is important, because you don't want, and then you might ask me, well, why you wanted to make the Steelers one-dimensional? No, because they got Antonio Brown, Juju, and the tight ends can kill us. But I tell you right now, man, as bad as Ben Watson killed us over the middle and Greg Olsen killed us over the middle on third down, the tight end's going to be the X factors on both sides, because we know Joe loves his tight end, Mark Andrews. I like to see Hayden Hurst involved a little bit more. We'll see. That's kind of my big question mark for this week as a key to the game is, can you get this tight end up to speed and get him involved? But I feel like on both sides of the ball, the Ravens' defensive key is stopping James Conner. It ain't stopping Ben. It's stopping James Conner. We already know you need to keep AB on lockdown, which they've done successfully so far. So, you know, he caught the touchdown the first one. It kind of was, you know, few and far between, and we put an end to that. Other than that, I pretty much just got to say it's got to come down to stopping the run and making them force to throw it. And I feel like the Ravens can create turnover. And I miss that lately. How long has it been since we had the interceptions? I feel like, yeah, we got a few fumbles here and there, but the Ravens really hadn't had their, their pulse per se on some balls. So I want the Ravens to really start snagging that ball to air when a quarterback makes a mistake.
Yeah, and there hasn't been a sack since that record, 11 sacks in one game. So, I mean, this is a different team than we've seen, and we want to see a little bit more from the defense and from the offense. But, Josh, you know, you said you kind of give the edge to Pittsburgh for this one. Do you want to give an actual a score prediction?
Do I want to give a scoring prediction? You're going to put me on record, aren't you?
I am.
You asked me the important questions. You're a tough interview. No, I'm kidding. man, and you know it. You know, in my heart of hearts, I can't say it. Yeah, history just it really sucks, because I'm kind of torn, because I'm going to pick my heart versus my gut in my head and all that. I don't want to go that far, you know, argue with it. But breaking this down really sucks, because I feel like the Ravens can win this, sweep them, everything sets up well. But because the way they're playing lately, it's kind of funny, because we say that, but you know how true it is. You throw everything out the door, because all that matters is how you play this one game. Even the Ravens are winless until now. All that matters is, hey, can you stop the Steelers and be effective and do a good game plan? You do. You score more points than they do at the end of the day and stop them, you win the game. So it's kind of like, even if they were, you know, undefeated at this point, you still want to win the game. So it doesn't matter what the records are, but it's just, I feel like, I look at it this way. I look in sports and in football, when your back's against the wall, what do you do? And the most desperate underdogs. And I feel like the Ravens are that. And is funny how all show I'm talking up the Steelers. You might say, why, man? Steelers hate week. Yeah, hate this team with a passion, but I'm smart here. Steelers got an offense. They're flying high. The Ravens, you know, pun intended, obviously, with my call, sign out. And right now the Ravens aren't. You know, but right now the Ravens are the most desperate team. It's in our house this time. I'm part of the 12th man. I can't wait to get out there and be a part of the festivities and really root this team on hard. And I feel like, you know, with the Ravens and everything, and it's an extra special weekend because they're wearing their infamous black jerseys, which are my absolute favorite.
Yep.
Sidebar, I wish it was our home jersey, not the purple, but that's just my opinion. I feel like the home ensemble should be white pants, black jerseys. And then obviously on the road is black pants, white jerseys. I think that would be a nice contrasting look. But
I got to tell you, I like the purple pants. I wish they would break them out a little bit more.
I like the purple pants. And yeah, I mean, they're good. How about purple pants and black jerseys?
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, what do you think that combo could look like on Sunday if they went that way?
I think it might be a different look, because, as you know, they've done the black pants, purple jerseys a lot.
Yeah.
Most notably, you know, Ray Lewis's last home game was in that same uniform. So I've seen that a lot. They usually do. I don't know. It's yet to be said if they're doing all black or doing the white pants. The last Steelers game, I think it was white pants, if I don't recall. I think it was all black. I can't remember. It was last year, and I still can't remember that.
Got to go for a blackout if you're going to do the black jerseys.
Yeah, I think that too. I think if you're going to do that, I think the all black does it. But I had a feeling it was coming to one of these games, and I'm glad it's the Pittsburgh game, and they mean business this time. And another thing is too, hate to bring this up because you never want to be doing and gloom, but we don't know what Suggs' future holds. This is the last year of his contract. He's already been vocal, you know, he wants to keep continue playing. And on the Ravens, if they do it right and restructure right, they would maybe sign him to a 2-year deal to end his career, maybe. I hate to see him go out anywhere else, like Ed Reed or anything like that. But if it happens, it's the business. We know he's a Raven for life. We know the career he's built here is a Hall of Famer. But right now, as we know, Suggs owns Ben. You know, he sacked them the most inactive players in his career. And you got to cherish it because this could be Suggs' last game against the Steelers ever, if not at home. So I would say soak it up. I don't want to say a what-if scenario, but that's something that no one's really talking about, and it could be a possibility. And really wanted to get that out there, that take notice. And hopefully Suggs can go out and get a couple sacks or so, or maybe even make it a hat trick and get three against Ben and really make it. But I think, you know, for my prediction, I think this is going to be a 23-17 win by the Ravens. I think this game is going to come down to defense for the Ravens. I think they clamp down. I say the Steelers get out early with the lead. I think the Ravens overcome that and get a few turnovers to turn the tide. And I think the Ravens win this one to go to the good side of 500 into the bye week, sweep the Steelers, and I'm calling it. Let's hope it happens, but I'm going for the more desperate team right now who's reeling, and I think this win really pumps everybody up and saves the season.
Well,
I
hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I feel as if the Steelers are going to take this one. It is extremely rare to blank a team, especially the arch rival in a season, you know. So they usually go 1-1 against each other. So the Ravens won before. I think the Steelers might win this one. I think it's going to be a 27-17 finish for the Steelers. I don't want it to be, but again, I feel like they are.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, I hope I never more have to say a Steeler win, but that's just the way I'm seeing it right now. Hopefully, Ravens, please prove me wrong, man. I hope the Ravens can come out with this win. Also,
it's gonna be tough.
Let's
not lie about it. It's gonna be tough. This isn't a laydown team. I don't think any team is this year or any is any point. I mean, hey, we lost to the Browns in overtime, and now they lost three straight. So, and they're 2-5. So, it is, man. It's gonna be tough, and you gotta speak the truth when it hurts. You know, if it's out there, because it is the truth. I kind of almost want to be siding with you and pick the Ravens because it's logical, or pick against them because it's logical. But again, I'm going with the most desperate team, and I feel like right now with the Steelers riding high with some few wins, I really think they get a reality check, and the Ravens come back with a vengeance. And I'm not saying a dominant win, but I say, hey, they get it here, and they start the ball rolling with momentum because they're at home for the next month, and it bodes into their advantage. And I don't want to see them squander it. I don't think they will let it get away.
Also, I just want to put this out there, the way we started our last show saying that we were with Pittsburgh. I just want to say on this show, I really hope that this Steelers-Ravens game is just entertaining for both towns. I know Pittsburgh is still grieving and reeling from the massacre that happened last weekend.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
At the synagogue. So we kind of forget this sometimes, but sports are supposed to be like a vacation from what's going on in reality. So for just a couple hours, I hope this game is fun for the Pittsburgh community to watch. Hope it helps them get their mind off of, you know, things that have happened and can help them heal a little bit better. So that's what I want to really see. I want to see a good game. I want to see an entertaining game. And, for the Pittsburgh fans that are out there, I hope this, you know, helps in, I don't want to say helps in the time of need or whatever, but I hope that this kind of brings people together where this community knows it's okay to, you know, laugh again, and it's okay to cheer, and it's okay to get excited about something. So hopefully this game does that for that community.
Absolutely, man. And speaking of community, did you hear what Juju did this weekend?
No, what did he do?
He apparently dressed up for Halloween, but not as you think. He went around the neighborhood dressed as himself. He put his full uniform on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, a few moments ago, found the story and just shared it. Jordan Hoffman tweeted it. My buddy Jordan Yeah, Juju trick-or-treating in his full uniform. I did hear about it, but yet to see it. And he looks so – actually, he looks scary. It's pretty funny. He's there in his – he's actually wearing a helmet. It kind of looks like me if I went trick-or-treating. We'll go around with a helmet and pads on. He's holding a bag of candy at someone's doorstep. So it's pretty – and there's, like, kids dressing costumes around him. It's pretty legit. So I shared that, retweeted it on Twitter. So go check it out. It's pretty funny. So Juju is just a character, man. And, you know, doing something for – and that's a thing, you know. Again, you know, like Ike Taylor, and we get it. You know, we love to hate this team. If you're wearing Pittsburgh colors or you see fans, it's you love the banter and you love to take people's terrible towels out of their hand and stomp on them and give them a hard time. But at the end of the day, we love each other. You know, we don't want to wish ill will to any players or fans in any way. You know, but I love this rivalry, if not more than anybody. It gets me so fired up, and sometimes I get way more fired up than I should or get used to, because it's I don't know what it is, man, but. Again, with all the bad in this world, and you want to love each other, but geez, man, this team does bring out the hate in me, man. It's just like I get angry this week. Like, I'm like, the little things, like, I usually, like, I'm not, but like, the little things will just make me upset. Like, I'm like, and I'm like, it's Steeler week, leave me alone. Cause I'm just like, I just get amped, man. And it's just awesome that it's a home game. And you know what's kind of funny is I talked about this week is everybody's always hitting me up, hey, you know any Raven Steeler tickets? I'm like, yeah, StubHub, and you're going to pay a premium for them because it's the hottest ticket every season, no matter if the Ravens are winless or undefeated or whatever the record is. But I always get tempted to sell this ticket to make some extra bucks because I'm like, dude, I can like sell this for like triple the face value and get away with it. But I never like to because this game is so fun live, and it's just – it's one of the best ever, and I live for this no matter what. And I'm really – I can't wait for that day – that the Ravens and Steelers play a playoff game here in Baltimore. That's going to be just a whole nother level. I was there in Pittsburgh for a playoff game. I know how that can be, but I want one here.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Covered it top to bottom, front to back. Steeler week, home edition. I'm going to say a healthy and hearty Steeler hate filled, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Now, before we get out of here, we got to give a huge thank you and shout out to former guest of the show and very good friend of both of ours, Josh Brinkley. He actually he did this thing called Cameo. It's this app where athletes and celebrities and other famous people will record a message and do shout outs for you to send to friends and family. And Chris Wormley from the Baltimore Ravens, number 93, he did a cameo for you and I and for the show, and he gave a shout out to the call. I'll play that at the end of the show so you guys can hear it, and it was really cool. I was not expecting it. I just got a text message on my phone saying, hey, there's a cameo for you and Josh, and there's Chris Wormley, and he actually said he'd like to come on our show. So we're going to work on that. We're going to send him a couple messages and hopefully not be too stalkerish.
And we're not being trick-or-treat. This is real.
This is real.
I thought I was being punked. I'm like, wait a minute. I was waiting for somebody in a costume to like pop out or something. I thought I was being tricked. I was like, Halloween, this comes out. No, there's definitely something. Yeah, I was like waiting for the – because I'm not gullible. I'm like, I never believe anything. Like, you could tell me, like, you could call me up, Brandon, and go, hey, I won the $1 billion lottery, and I would have been like, I don't care. You're lying. Like, I wouldn't even believe you. Like, I would have to – I just don't. I don't – I hate to say that. I hate to be like that, but I'm – you have to prove me. I need to see it because I just – I'm because I've been shocked and surprised and teased before, and it's like I hate that letdown. So I'm like – and especially when that happened, you're right. Like, you even tell me your reaction. You're like, he said our names. He said the podcast name. And I did the same thing. I'm like, he said Brandon and Josh, and I'm like – yeah. And I kept looking at the video. I'm like, no, that's definitely him. That's not a costume. I'm like, he said the podcast. He wants to come on. I'm like flipping out. Like, I was like, and I called you up, like, what, geeking and screaming. So, Josh Brinkley, I don't know what you did or how you did it, but brother, you're awesome. We certainly owe you one here at the call. Me and Brandon, graciously, thank you. And it's just, wow. Like, that's awesome. And that would be a breakthrough if not groundbreaking, man. Wouldn't it be to get a player like that on here?
Oh, absolutely. We've been doing this show for 5 years. We've got
still haven't gotten to that point.
Yeah,
we've had close. You had connections with Kamar Aiken, right?
That's right.
You almost got it.
Yeah.
You made him win a grill. Apparently he used the grill, but he never came on the show to talk about it.
Right, yeah, he did use the grill. It was called Infant Smokey. Yeah, he never made it to the show. We've tried to get a couple other people. We've tried to get some Ravens super fans. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. I think Josh and I are pretty welcoming dudes. But we haven't been able to get a guest on the show before. So we're really going to try Chris Wormley. He knows our names now. He knows the podcast name. Hopefully he's listening to this episode. We'd love to have him on. So we are going to try to get that happening for you guys. No promises, you know. The Ravens have very busy schedules in the season, so we'll see what happens down the road. But
well, they have a bye week coming up, so maybe we can try to target then.
That's right.
Maybe maybe we can see what his availability is and do a bye week special. Maybe, you know, now that it's not in the busy of preparing for a week, maybe it comes at a perfect time where you play the Steelers, get away with a win, and then let's hope we can line that up. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk off the record, but yeah, let's see if we can make it happen for everybody. Bye week special.
That's right. So, so again, Josh, man, thank you so much. That was really awesome. Complete surprise. And Chris Wormley.
I'm doing a yes chant. Yes.
And a big thank you to Chris Wormley for sending the shout out as well. It was really cool of you to do that.
Yeah, Chris, thank you. It was even great to him to take the time out to do it on behalf of Josh's request. So, however that happened, I don't know about Cameo. I guess I'll be introduced to it now and figure all about it. But awesome. Nicole's going to be rocking with some Ravens on the show. It's going to be great.
That's right. So anybody out there, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, give us 5 stars, and then go and use your social media and go onto Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It is Ravens. It is Steelers. It is Sunday afternoon. The second time seeing the Steelers this year. What is going to happen? Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be war. And I'm telling you what, I love me some Ravens Steelers, and you might get sick and tired of hearing it, but it's just I wish they played this team every month. It's just how much I love it. And this is it. Ravens Steelers number 2 on the season. And let's send a pack in with a sweep. I feel it. The Ravens, again, you know, I've covered it. They're desperate. And the more desperate team I always feel has that edge. They're at home wearing black. And we didn't allude to it, but it's Military Appreciation Day for the Ravens and the NFL. So I feel like right now, perfect storm, man. You know, going ahead into the bye week, starting the homestand off right here. Never really had it. It's been a while since we had almost a whole month homestand here with a bye week. So this is great. Let's take advantage of it. Started off popping. And, I'm always going to get a plug in here. One of my favorite things to do during Steeler week, and I watch my select movies. And, you know, my tradition, obviously, for every Ravens week is watch Gladiator. It's one of my favorites. You know, watch the 300 movies. It's great. Get King Leonidas and all that. But one thing I always, remember from the second installment of that is the 300 Rise of an Empire is when Xerxes comes out and he says, war. And that's what it's going to be this Sunday. And any time the Ravens Steelers meet, it's war. And that's what he's the war cry. And it's going to be awesome. I really hope all the fans are going, get in the stadium, get loud. I want everybody to just get crazy as usual because you know what? As we alluded to before, every decibel counts. And I'm gonna leave it with this. I was impressed with Ravens Nation. Fortunately, I felt like obviously it would have been a way better outcome, obviously, if we'd have won the Saints game. But I didn't allude to this on the show. I can't remember if I did or not, but if I didn't, I'm sorry. But the Ravens' home atmosphere during that Saints game, it was the best this season thus far. I know there's been a couple of rainy games that dampened the mood. This is their third one, and it was a dry game, and it was a good game. It was football weather, even though it was a little windy, and you know the outcome wasn't in our favor. I felt like the Ravens fans were loud. It was more packed than usual. And I felt like everybody came together. And I feel like if the Ravens can really find a way to stop this losing streak, the time is now. They're going to rise up against their heated opponent and really take it to them. And with that said, into this war, it's going to be blood and guts, as Steve Smith used to say. Baltimore Ravens, hey, it's Steelers week. Are you going to fly high?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
What's up, Brandon and Josh? It's Chris Wormley here, Baltimore Ravens defensive lineman, number 93. One of your buddies asked me if I could shout you guys out. I heard you guys do a weekly podcast called The Call, which sounds pretty sweet. So if anytime you guys want me to be on the podcast, I don't know if you guys have, you know, special guests or anything like that, but I'd love to be on it. Just hit me up maybe on Instagram or something like that. But we'd love to see you guys, love to talk to you guys, and go Ravens.